Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Those who are with us on iChurch in Spanish and in English, we are so happy to have you join us today. If you would like to communicate with us, there is an address that you can do that. Thank you for joining us. Are you all here today? Thank you for joining us. I made a promise that I'd do better this week.
Hallelujah.
Last week I told you what the subject was. Did I? I don't think I did. The subject of these two lessons, last Sunday and this Sunday, is fortifying our lives in the end time. Hallelujah. Now, the reason that we need to do that, times are getting more evil and more evil. People are changing, and they're changing for the worse. And if we are not careful as believers, we will allow these worldly changes to infect our lives. And Yeshua said, you remember last week, that the world is getting darkness, but we are light. Yes. And without us, this world has no light. Yeshua said, you are light, light. You are like a light set up on a hill that cannot be hid. So it is up to us to shine forth the light of Yahweh. So I'm going to start today with a very familiar scripture that some of you who has been with us for a while know. And today, when I hope to end by giving you something that will change your life. Change your life. You know, we always believe that whatever we pray for will come to pass. But however much that we pray for don't come to pass. And it leaves us sometimes in a dilemma of not understanding why things are not happening as we pray for. We know that we are promised that it will come to pass. But remember, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So today I'm going to give you a little piece of something that you can, by faith, let's not say by faith, let's say in faith, use that your prayer life will become more effective among. So we're going to start out in the book of Yohanan. And you would call it, maybe if you don't understand that this was a Hebrew young man, you would probably call him by an English name called John. but his name was actually Yohanan. Yohanan, the 17th chapter. Yeshua is about to be crucified. His crucifixion will begin in the next chapter, which is the 18th chapter. We're in the 17th chapter here. This is his last prayer that he prayed on this terra firma for you and I and for all of those who would believe. In the 17th chapter, the 5th verse, he says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Which thou givest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou givest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them thy words, which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Now he uses some very distinct language here that I want you to remember. He said, "Father, glorify me with thyself, with the same glory that I had before the world was." And the word glory is the doxa, and it means to magnify, honor, that natural, supernatural thing that emanated from me before the world was. Just simply remember that. We'll get back to it. He also uses two words here for word. He says, they have kept thy word. And this word in the Greek is logos. Logos, many times we have been taught, is the total word of Yahweh. But logos, though this Bible cannot hold logos. Logos is more than words on paper. And we'll get back to that. I just want you to remember that. He says, they have kept thy logos. Well, the word kept is terio. And the word terio does not mean kept. It means they have given heed to your logos. Keep that in mind. They have given heed to your logos. And then he goes on to say, "I have given them thy words," rhema in the Greek. "I've given them your rhema." So he uses two different words here for word. One is logos, and one is rhema. Now, if you really want to learn today, open your ears up. You know, Yeshua said, "He that has what? Ears to hear, let them hear," because I'm going to give you something that's going to help you today. So he says, "I have given them the rhema, which thou gavest me." So, and then he goes on to say, "I have manifested thy name." And so there are three things here that Yeshua says he's given us. But the major thing he says, I want to go back to that condition that I was in before the world began, or before the world was. I came here, he says, for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring them your logos, and then bring them your rhema, and then manifest your name. Well, he's not talking about the name Yahweh, because the name Yahweh has already been in the world and has already been manifested. Yahweh is the Hebrew God that everybody knew and everybody pronounced his name, or the priest did, many, many years before this. But now he's talking about a new name. And this name will be extremely important. So he says, I've given them your logos, I've given them your rhema, and I've given them your name. And I gave it to them for a purpose. I gave it to them for a purpose, because I'm leaving. And they're going to need to have something that they can use in the earth realm to defeat the enemy. How many of you know that you have an enemy? No, some people don't know that we are in a fight. We're in a battle. And so first, let's talk about the word. We'll talk about both the Rhema and the Logos, and see how that works out, and see in the end if we can piece this puzzle together and come up with this revelation. So let's go to the book of Yaakov, the first chapter. You might call it James. Let me ask you a question. Do everybody have a Bible? If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand. If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers, this is so important. I want everyone to have a Bible. Get a Bible to this young man. Anybody else who do not have a Bible, open your Bible, and I want you to go to the book of Yaakov, which is the Hebrew name, but you might call it James. I'm sure you would. Now, we think we are sitting here today, and you can just open up this book and you can begin to learn the word, right? There's nothing stopping you, right? All you have to do is what? Open up the book and read, and you will know the word. Well, you can't approach the word unless you have done something else. See, you can't go into the word and bring out the divinity of the word if you are not right. So when you take and open this Bible, you should make sure that you are right. And so in the 21st verse of that first chapter, he would say, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. And that simply mean, I know it's said in a kind of horrible way, but it simply mean moral defilement. And superfluity in the Greek means abundance of naughtiness, that's evil. And receive with meekness or humility the engrafted word, the engrafted logos, that's the term used here, that is able to save your soul. Engrafted simply means implanted. Engrafted, emphutos, which is in the Greek, means something that will take root. So in order for this thing to take root, it has to be alive. Would you agree? He said, receive this logos, which will take root in your soul and save your soul. How many of you need soul saved? Everybody, we all need soul saved. He said, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. And then he adds this. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. What's the sense in reading it if you're not going to do it? And if you read it and don't do it, and think simply because you're reading it, it's okay, then you have deceived yourself. This word is not written just for you to read it. It's written for you to what? For you to do it. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to do it. You got to do it. And when you do it, it begins to work for you. Because the Logos is the food that the believer needs in order to grow. If you don't get this, you're not going to what? You're not going to grow. Let's look at 1 Kefa 2. Now again, when he is going to talk about the word, he's going to talk about your condition. So he says, the first verse, wherefore laying aside all malice, which is wickedness, and all guile, which is deceit and deception, and all hypocrisies, meaning putting on the dog or pretending, and envious, feeling bad because other folks got something, and evil speaking, which is backbiting. He said, now before you do what I'm going to tell you to do, you need to lay aside or lay from you all malice, guile, hypocrisy, and envies, and evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the logos. When I saw that, I thought, wait a minute. That's not word. What he said, desire the spiritual. This wasn't even word. This is the spiritual. If you want to add word there, you can say spiritual word. But he says, you got to understand that you are now, have now entered into a new dimension, which is a spiritual dimension, and you got to desire spiritual things. We are here, but people, we're not of this world. I believe somebody said we had a conversation this morning about all the evil here, but to say, look, this is not our home. We're just simply passing through. Our home is a spiritual place, and we have to desire the spiritual rather than the natural. We have to desire what comes from Yahweh and not what the world gives. He says, desire the spiritual, and if you want to add word, that's okay, milk of the word, that you may what? You may grow thereby. And then he said this kind of confusing statement, you know, desire the sincere of the spiritual that you may grow thereby. And then he said, if so, ye have tasted that Mashiach is gracious. What did that got to do with desiring the sincere milk. But now he says, if you have tasted that Mashiach is gracious, or actually the word is that Mashiach is good. You don't know whether something is good, that is something to eat, until you what? Till you taste it. But how is it that you're going to desire the sincere milk or the word, but you tasted Yeshua? Does that make any sense? Well, maybe he'll make sense later on. Right now, we got confused, aren't we? Yeah, pretty much. He said, you got to desire the unadulterated, when you say sincere, the pure, unadulterated spiritual things, that you may grow thereby. That is, if you have tasted that Mashiach or Yeshua is good. You're not going to eat anything that's not good. Would you agree? I have tasted some stuff that wasn't good. When I was in Greece, I lived in the Greek community. And you know, because I was different, everybody wanted to talk to me. And the old ladies wanted to invite me into the house, and they wanted to feed me, you know. If you've never been to Greece, Greece was a great country. So this old lady invited me in, and she called me Barsilis. Barsilis, come on in. I went in. She said, I want you to have some of this. And I said, okay. Well, because, you know, in Greece, you don't turn away food. That's an insult. She gave me this cheese. And I put that stuff in my mouth, and I couldn't swallow it. So I had to put it way back in my jaw here, because, you know, I don't want to spit it out. But it simply was not good. And you're not going to eat something that's not good. You can bet your bottom dollar I never ate that again. So that's the idea here, is that you have to have tasted something that it is good. But here, they're talking about the spirituality of the word. And then they said, if you have tasted Yeshua, that he is good. Now, this word, this logos, is powerful. Man, if you want to get something that is powerful, you want to deal with something that is out of this world, you find what the Logos is. And you're dealing with something that is extremely powerful. Let's go to Evrim 4. So you just turn back in your Bible. You would call it Hebrews 4. Now we'll be where I want to go in a few minutes. And here, the writer in the 12th verse of the 4th chapter says, for the Logos, that's the term he used, of Yahweh is quick. Zon, Zoar. This Logos that the Bible is talking about, you having tasted, is alive. Quick means alive and active. For the Logos of Yahweh is quick, alive, and powerful. The Greek word is energy. We take our word energy from that. The word of Yahweh is alive and full of energy. The word of Yahweh is just not something that is written on the pages of a book. It's alive and full of energy. Did you all know that? You thought you were coming to church dealing with something dead. But he says, for the Logos of Yahweh is alive and full of energy and sharper. Somebody say sharper. Tumos, meaning to cut. The word of Yahweh is alive, is full of energy, and it cuts. You know why it has to cut? Because the things that need to be revealed is hidden. And so the word of Yahweh has to cut it, that it can be revealed. Sharper than any two-edged sword. He said the word of Yahweh cuts both ways. You can cut that way, but snatch it back and it'll cut the other way. It cut every which way, we might say. Because it is what? Alive. It's doing this all by it. I'm going to say right now, itself. I'll change that in a moment. Piercing. Meaning it penetrates. Even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. You can't divide your soul and your spirit. Most of the time, you don't know whether it's your mind talking to you or your spirit talking to you. Am I right or wrong? You can't tell the difference. Your spirit is different. Your spirit is your life, but your mind is your contact to the earth realm. But your mind will sometimes mimic your spirit. And because you can't tell the difference, you need something that can pierce through that and reveal what it really is. Have you seen some people think they're serving God and they have some all these bizarre ideas? Their soul has taken over, and they think it's God. But the Logos that can take root in your soul and save it knows the difference. And of the joints and the marrow. The word of Yahweh can distinguish between your DNA. See, you say, well, I'm like this because that's what my mama knows. You might not be because your mama, but the word of God knows what it is because it gets down to your DNA. See, the word of Yahweh, this living word, can heal your DNA. You might have a bad DNA. Y'all know what DNA is, don't you? That is that hereditary thing you got from your mama or your daddy. See, sometimes you get something bad from your folks. But the word of Yahweh can cut it open and change your DNA. Look at your neighbor and say, help me. Help me, Logos. Help me, Logos. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. The Logos knows what you are thinking and why you are thinking it and why you did it and why you said it. And you might say, oh, oops, I didn't mean to say that, a little word of God. Oh, yes, you did. You know, we said something, we're thinking stuff and we think God don't know nothing about it. But the word of Yahweh, the Logos, can discern your thinking, knows what your intentions are, knowing where you are going when you start saying you ain't going there. Isn't that scary? But you know something? We are scary. People are scary. We got some stuff working in us. Did y'all know that? Stuff that we don't even want to admit ourselves. We need something that can truly save our soul. We need saving. Sometimes we think we're good and we ain't. We hear people say, well, I try to treat everybody. And I know you don't. The word of Yahweh said, no, you don't. You're not kind trying to treat everybody good. You know you, what do you say? You know you lie. But the word of Yahweh discerned what you were thinking and why you were thinking and how you were thinking it and for what purpose you were thinking. It knows when you align to yourself and when you align to God. Human beings are very complicated. Don't y'all know that? How many of you ever realized in certain situations in your life that there's something wrong with human? There's something wrong with humans, man. I mean, it's okay. I'm not trying to make y'all better. I'm a human too. But there's something wrong with us. And without God, we would be hopeless. Without salvation, without Yeshua dying for us, we would be hopeless. How many of you think that you're in control? Let me see your hand. I'm glad y'all don't raise your hand. Because none of you are in control. You don't control nothing in this world. You don't even control whether you get up tomorrow morning. Did you all know you might lay down tonight? You don't know whether you will get up tomorrow morning. You have no control. You're at the mercy of the world. And he that is over the world, the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is working toward disobedience in every human being. When I realized that, it almost made it not worth living. I realized that before I got saved. I thought I was in control, thought a big bad wolf. Found out I wasn't controlling anything. And I thought, what's the sense in living when you have no control over nothing in your life? But Yeshua came into my life and changed my life. Now, I didn't know everything I know now, but I knew there was a Savior who died for me. And that if I would receive his death, burial, and resurrection, that at least I would have a place to go in the end. I could solidify for me a place that I could go, that's the control I had. Now, the next scripture, and this is the main scripture. 3 or 4 weeks ago, before Pastor Tom told me he was going on vacation, the Spirit of God gave me this scripture. And he said to me, meditate on this. And I said, how many of you ever talk to God? I talked to him. I said, I have read this scripture many times. That is one of my favorite scriptures. I don't find anything in that scripture that I don't already know. Mm-hmm. That's what I said to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit said, I told you just to meditate on it. And I said, well, Father, I don't see what's in here. I know this scripture, but I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to meditate on it. And so since I knew the scripture almost verbatim, I started quoting the scripture. And I found out a few words was not, I didn't have in there. So I had to add that. And finally, after a few weeks, Pastor Tom came to me and said, I'm leaving town. I want you to speak. And the Spirit said to me, this scripture will be your main scripture. And I still did not know why. I really did. I did not know why. But now I know. I want you to go to Yohanan. The first chapter, and the first verse. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, it says here, was with the Abba, but I want you to change that. The Word was, and you'll find out why later, the Word was in the Abba. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in Yahweh, and the Word was. I want you to listen. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was in Yahweh, and the Logos was Yahweh. The same was in the beginning in Yahweh. This is the key to the whole thing. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was in Yahweh. And the Logos was Yahweh. The same was in the beginning in Yahweh. All things were made by him. By who? The Logos. All things was made by him. And without him was not anything made. That wasn't. He's talking about what? Participate with me. He's talking about what? The Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, or the Word, and the Word was in Yahweh, and the Word, or the Logos, was Yahweh. The same was in the beginning in Yahweh. All things were made by him, that is the Logos, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hold your finger here. You're coming back. Let's turn to Bereshit. That's, call it Genesis. And let's go to the first. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. So I'm not going to read all of this. I'm just going to hit this third verse. And Yahweh said, let there be light. And that was it. And Yahweh, sixth verse, said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So it was. Ninth verse. And Yahweh said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. 11th verse. And Yahweh said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind. 14th verse. And Yahweh said, I'm not going to say what he said. 20th verse. And Yahweh said, 24th verse. And Yahweh said, 26th verse. And Yahweh said, 26th verse. I'm back to Yohanan. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was in Yahweh, and the Logos was the same was in the beginning in Yahweh. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was. The Logos was the word that came from within Yahweh. Y'all got it? Isn't that what you saw? So everything he created, he just what? He just said it. And the Bible said the things that are created was not made of the things that do appear. When he said it, it was nothing. But the Logos is alive, active, and full of energy, and it went to work on that thing. And created that. That he said. This is getting good. In him was life. In what was life? In the Logos. The Logos was alive. That's what he's trying to say. In the Logos was life. And that life was the light of men. That life that was in the Logos was the same life that created life in man. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. This comprehend is not to understand. This comprehend is trying to prevent. And the light, which is the life, which is the Logos, shined into the darkness, And there was something there in the darkness that tried to prevent it. Hold it back, yes. But whatever that was in the darkness trying to hold it back, could not. Could not hold it back. There was a man sent from Yahweh whose name was Yohanan. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. You remember what Yohanan said when he saw Yeshua walking? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh that taketh away the sins of the world." So there was a man sent from Yahweh whose name was Yohanan. The same came as a witness to bear witness of the light that all men, somebody say women, through him might believe. He was not that light, that is Yohanan, but was sent to bear witness of the light that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even to them that believe on his name. I want you to remember that. If you notice, wherever they have the Logos, they kind of add the name. That's important. Which was born, back to the Logos, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. So this that came unto his own, and his own received him not, this that created all things and they didn't believe it, his birth was not by blood, not by the will of the flesh. Nobody got any pleasure out of his birth. Y'all know what I mean. Nor of the will of man. But of Yahweh. Well, I want to ask you a question. Who was born of Yahweh? Who was born without this natural generation? Yeshua. The word or the Logos says here was made flesh. That's not the truth of translation. Became flesh. You can't make the Logos, the living Logos. You can't make it into anything than what it is. But here the idea is that the Logos wrapped himself in human flesh. when he, and before he could, before he wrapped himself in human flesh, he had to be named. Because now he's coming as a human. And so the angel appeared unto Miriam and said, or unto Joseph and said, you shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sin.
Thank you, Father.
This spot cannot hold the Logos. This Bible can hold words about the Logos. This Bible can hold rhema. This Bible can hold epos. But it cannot hold Logos. Because Logos is a separate entity that's full of life and is living. Can't be contained, can't be changed. So when the promise comes that he is going to help us, how does he help us when he's not here anymore? This is our dilemma. Our dilemma is we are praying and many times we are not getting our prayers answered. And it seems that the promise of God is not being effective in our lives. And so we make excuses for that. Maybe it wasn't his will. Right? Maybe I wasn't praying. Maybe I thought a bad thought yesterday. None of human, no human is perfect. Every human is going to think a bad thought. Even saved. But the Logos can work on your soul to save. So how? What can we do now? We have the Logos, but the Logos is gone. And now I know some theologians said the Logos is this entire Bible. It is not. This Bible cannot contain the Logos that was in the beginning that created all things. And if we would go back to Ephraim 4, just for a moment, hold your place. Ephraim 4. I'll be finished by 1. And if I'm not, sue me. The 13th verse of that 4th chapter. Neither is there any creature. And this Greek word is katesis. And it means creation. Neither is there anything that is created that is not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him, which we have to do. That is the Logos. So now, let me give you a little piece of this that might help you. Go to Johannes the 15th chapter. I remember all things that we talk about, you got to develop faith in it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that come to Yahweh must first believe. And believe that he is a water, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when I give you this, this is to give you the information that you can begin to meditate on, so it might get in your spirit, that you might have developed faith in this, and that it might begin to work for you. The 16th verse. This is Yeshua speaking, it's in red, right? Of the 15th chapter. You have not chosen me. You know what he said? You know, I went to God. No, you didn't choose it.
Come on.
You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm chosen. I'm selected out, man. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be chosen? See, sometimes we go all our life and folks don't like us, they mistreat us, nobody want us, but God said, I want you. Oh, isn't that wonderful to be chosen? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever, listen to this, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give. Oh, stop. Yeshua said, I'm going, I'm leaving. But you can ignite and start to work in your life the power of the Logos. Come on. And the way you do that, the way you release the power of the Logos, because I'm not here to do it myself in a personal manner, the way you release the power of the Logos, the living creative word, is through the name. It's through the name. That name that was given by Yahweh to be placed on that word that wrapped himself in human flesh. Now the only way you can put in action the power of heaven on your side is to use the name. Yeshua. You got to know the name. You can't use any name. Because the power is in the name, the power of the living Logos. The Logos is alive and full of energy and will work on your behalf. It's now residing in the name. See, the Bible says it's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. See, when you utter the name in faith, it's not, you can't find the kind of words in the Bible that fit your situation. You know, we've been trying to find them, and if I could quote that word on that, but that's not, the Bible might not have words that fit your situation, but it has the power of the living Logos that you can release through the name. When you have faith in that, 16th chapter, 23rd verse. In that day, see, he had just told him, I'm leaving, and you are sorry. Well, let's read the 22nd. And you now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy, no man taketh away from you. And in that day, see, in the day that you come to the realization that you still have me, but you have me contained in the name that you can release on your behalf. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. No matter what it is. I mean, it can't be anything evil. But he says, when I was here, his disciples, you could ask me. See, when you were out there on the ship, and the storm came, and the ship looked like it was going to sink, you came down below where I was sleeping on a pillow, and you woke me up, and you asked me, Lord, do something. The storm is raging. We're going to sink. Remember what Yeshua said to them? Oh, ye of little faith. Don't you know as long as I'm on the boat, it can't go down. He said, but you used to ask me. When you went out there on the ocean and I told you I'd see you. And you were in this boat and you saw me walking on the water. Cephas said, Lord, can I come out to you? You know what Yeshua said? He didn't say, man, that will wave the rudder and you might sink. Come on. And Cephas got out of the boat and began to walk. Because the living Logos with him. And then the Bible said he stopped looking at Yeshua and started looking at the condition. And he began to sing. But then he still could ask him, help, Lord! Yeshua grabbed him by the arm and took him on into the boat. That's what he's talking about. He says, but then the day is coming when you're not going to be able to ask the person. Now watch this. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Because he was still here. Ask. He said, ask. And you shall receive that your joy. Let's just turn to the 14th verse. He's saying the Father going to do it. Let's just turn to the 14th verse, 12th chapter. And I'm almost wrapped up. 14th chapter, the 12th verse. And this is something that I never understood. I mean, really understood. I had some explanation we gave for it, but now I understand it. 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me or in me, the works that I do, shall he or she do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I what? I go to my Father. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing that? You're going to do the same works that I do. and even greater words. Because now, only you all can ask me. But people all over the world can't ask me because I'm not in their presence. But there are going to be greater works done because I go away. And whatsoever, 13 verse, you shall ask in my name, that will I do. See, before he said the Father going to do it. Now he says what? I'm going to do it. Because remember when he prayed, he said, I want you to glorify me with yourself. Just like it was before the world began. You remember that? He was in God, in Yahweh, and he was Yahweh. He said, now I'm going to go back. I want to now leave this earthly body and return to that position that I was in before the world began, before ever I spoke the word, or you spoke the word, and I began to create. Whatsoever you shall ask my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Look, see, it's all conditioned upon the name. If you love me, keep my commandment. What is his commandment? Anything you ask. If you love me, ask me. If you love me and you're in trouble and you need deliverance, ask me in my name.
Hallelujah.
I'll do it. So we all. We all can use that name. And when he said ask in my name, it's not ask like begging. It's actually demand. The word is demand in my name. This will change your life. I have explained it so you could follow it and study it and get it in your soul and your spirit, that you will understand that the believer possesses all of the creative power of the living Yahweh through the name, the Logos, who was from the beginning, before the world began.
Hallelujah.
And Father, we have